Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's begin our morning worship together with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity and the privilege and the freedom to come together and worship together this morning. Father, we pray that all that we do will be glorifying to you and glorifying to your Son and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray that it will be refreshing and rewarding and edifying to each of us in our worship of you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's, you open your hymnals. I don't know where our song director is. I hope if you're in prayer that you will pray for some kind of more music or something here. But anyway, we're going to start with hymn number 324. Hymn number 324, Higher Ground. Higher Ground. Now, the writer of this hymn is supposed to have written some 3,000 hymns. And he got about a dollar for about all he made on all of them. The ones that he was able to sell was $1. But over his lifetime, that's what he spent. So let's stand and sing the first and fourth verses, Higher Ground. We have much to do today, so let's move right into our few announcements, and then we'll have our study, and then we will have a brief meeting, or take communion, then have a brief meeting, and then we will take fellowship together. So, Super Bowl's over and all that. May not be one next time or next year, so I don't know. We'll just have to see how it goes. I would like to start the prayer request, and yes, Leslie, I'd like to have this on the internet of our prayer list. Reverend Clint Dobson. Now, I don't know how many of you know who Reverend Clint Dobson is. Reverend Clint Dobson is a young pastor, 29 years of age, North Point Baptist Church in Arlington. He was killed in the church, murdered in the church. This last week, a young man broke in. They arrested him yesterday, the man that did it. But he, the Reverend Clint Dobson, and his secretary assistant, Judy Elliott, she's 61. She was severely beaten. She's in the hospital now. He was murdered. And this was in the church. And one of the church member said, what have we come to in this society where we've got to lock the church? And, but unfortunately that's the case. And, I really encourage, Jim Langston and anybody that would be here by themselves, be sure you lock the outdoor and the door to here. And, of course that's please, from leaving from here to the automobile, but just protects while in here. And so we need to be in prayer for Clint Dodson and his family. He was going to a small seminary at the time, but and we need to be in prayer for Judy Elliott and her recovery from being beaten in the church building in Arlington. So this is where our society's going, and we need to be in prayer for these. We need to be in prayer now. Okay, we've got some things I want to be in prayer for. I want to be in prayer for Eve. Eve is not with us right now. She's sick, not feeling well at all. And so we need to be in prayer for Eve. And we need to be in prayer for Steve, who had a surgery this week, and he's out today. And Pam had surgery this week, and here she is. So, but we're going to continue to pray and for you. And but we're glad you're with us and here and all. And let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of, we need to be in prayer for. Okay. Tish, you don't have anything for us to be in prayer for you about? Huh? Well, now you're going to be traveling this week.
Yes.
Later on this week. So we'll be in a little travel prayer. And in today's society, that becomes important. We don't want you to end up in Iran or Iraq or somewhere else. California's foreign enough. And so she's going to go see her daughter. So we'll be in prayer for your travel. And just, yes. A triple bypass. Why? Her grandfather? Wow, how's he doing?
He's doing good. He's back
in home already. Yeah, oh, I know that, man. They just zip you in, they take your heart out, fix it all up, throw it back in, and you're out of there.
It's really nice, though. I mean, he had stents in 8 years ago after he had a heart attack, and he knows
good. Good. How old of a man is he, Heather?
He's 66.
66, okay. Wow, very good. Young man. Young man. Young stout man. And what's his first name?
Gerald.
All right, we've been in prayer for Gerald. And, any other prayer request?
Larry and Brian are traveling.
Yeah, Larry and Brian are traveling. Did they leave yesterday or today?
Last Thursday.
Last Thursday. Well, I'm behind a couple of days. But I thought I got an email from her Friday. Maybe I got it Thursday, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we need to be in prayer for them as they travel. Absolutely. Okay, the Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now, we've had suggested offering last Sunday. Hope that you're able to go along with that. But it wasn't a pledge. I don't believe in that. In fact, my whole understanding of offerings and all, maybe why I don't have a building and the land and all of that, but I'm just not going to do that. So, hope that we're able to continue the ministry of teaching the word and our missionaries and all the ministries that we have with us. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to worship you together, to come and open up the word of God, to let your spirit open it up and reveal the things to us that you would have us to see and understand, Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for the privilege of communion together, singing, praying, giving, helping, encouraging, all the functions of the local assembly. And Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, in the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Tuttle. Go ahead and turn that on. And then also, I'd like you to continue to be in prayer for Courtney. And she's really survived, kept the baby in for 3 weeks now. And so it could the baby be born this week, next week, but so everything is well. No, I have not. I'll have to, I don't even know who to ask. Oh, I thought you were talking about a man that got caught in Libya. Yes, he's out of the hospital, back at work. Doing okay. In fact, he checked himself out. He just said, okay, I'm ready to walk. So you got to know Tom to appreciate that, and what type of mentality, but I don't know what goes on in Tom's mind. I don't know what he does, but Tom's just that kind. Well, I'm ready to get out of here, so he just got up. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5. Great chapter. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting the Spirit who is the teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves, to open up the Scriptures, to learn more about Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Christ, as Peter says. To understand, Heavenly Father, the impact of your word in our daily life. We pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things that you would have us to see in this great chapter. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 1 through 11 deals with God's relationship with man. Chapters 12 through 16, man's relationship with man. First of all, you get your relationship with God in order and straightened out. Then you're ready to have a proper fellowship relationship with man. So please be aware of the relationship and the flow of the Bible. Now, I want to stop for a moment. Parentheses. Last week, it got by me. I don't want it to get by again today. Mark, Martha, last week, how many years you've been married? 18? 18 years ago I married you guys? Oh, man. And he hasn't asked for the money back, and you haven't asked for the money back? Nothing. Wow, that's pretty good. Well, as I tell people, they'll say, how much do you charge for weddings? Free. No, I do not charge for doing weddings. Funerals? Boy, I charge a lot. Because I figure nobody's going to come back and want their money back from a funeral. So I don't want to take any chances on weddings. So anyway, that's all humor. But, well, congratulations, 18 years. My goodness. All right, now, Back to Romans chapter 1 through 11, God's relationship with man. God cares more about that because that sets the framework for man's relationship with man. 1 through 11, God's relationship with man. 1 through 4, gospel for the unbeliever. God's relationship with the unbeliever. How can an unbeliever be righteous before God? Then chapters 5 through 11 is the gospel for the believer. God's relationship with the believer. How can a believer be righteous before God in his life? Okay. Let's see here. Well. Okay, chapter 5 now. Chapter 5. I know what I left off was 12 through 16, living by the gospel, not by the law. Romans chapter 12 through 16. Now, chapter 5, our current chapter, going to divide it into two main concepts. First of all, A, the benefits of imputed righteousness and justification by grace through faith, verses 1 through 11. And people, we're going to come to some very pertinent studies in regard to your personal life in Romans chapter 5. It's going to start getting very personal. Then, secondly, the condemnation and justification traced to their historical sources in Adam and in Jesus Christ. So I'd like you to open your Bibles. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It deals with the benefits in our current life of being imputed righteousness, which we studied in verses 1 through chapters 1 through 4, and in our life. So let's take a look. Therefore, coming off of chapter 1 through 4 now, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom, about Jesus Christ more, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand in our life. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Now it starts in on a personal. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Well, that just seems to come out of left field, but not so. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, what I want you to pay attention to, I'm not here to tell you, but I want to get through chapter 5, but I want you to know it. I want you to know what he says in verse 3. We also exalt in our tribulations, not for them. Not for them. That would get a little weird. But in them. And why do we exalt in tribulation? Knowing something. You got to know the scriptures. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why not? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one would hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good one, a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's the example of love. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were sinners, or enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, verses 11 and following, verse 11, and not only this, but also true, exalt in God. We exalt in our tribulations, exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now, verses 12 through 21 go through history. Remember, people, your past is so important. One of the reasons America is in the condition it's in, we do not know our past. We do not know the writing of the Constitution, understand the Constitution. We do not know, and we're not taught, how so many things about this government and this country were from the Bible. The three houses, the three branches of government, from the Bible. And Patrick Henry wrote home that at Congress today, wrote to his wife, in Congress today, we spent three to four hours talking about Psalm 34. In Congress meeting, talked about the Bible. We're not taught our history. But people, and that's why we'd have nothing to hold on to. Got to know your past so you'll understand your present and also understand the future. So let's take a look at the historical development of condemnation and justification. Therefore, as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, spiritual death. And so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him, Jesus Christ, who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one many died, all, much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many, those who would believe. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through the one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one the many will be made righteous. And the law came in that the transgression might increase. There's your purpose of the law, people, right there. Look at it. Verse 21. The law came in that transgression might increase. Not to fight transgression, but to increase it. But where sin is increased, grace abounded all the more. That as in sin reigneth in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, let's go back now and take a look at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to complete verse 1 this morning. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Go back. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Okay. It is a tragedy that so many pastors and people miss the message of faith all the way through the Bible. In every aspect of our relationship with God, people. Every relationship with God, it is by faith. We're saved by faith, imputed righteousness by faith, justified by faith, and we have peace with God because of faith. Think of the world. Think about peace. Think about the world today. And think about it throughout history. Wars. People in disharmony with one another. And yet we have peace with God by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that Greek particle, therefore, that which is now going to be talked about is coming off of a result of all that preceded, namely in chapters 3 and 4. Now here's what's fun. Having been justified. You can see it by that translation. This is an aorist passive participle, and by now you should be familiar with the aorist participle. It's the aorist passive participle of dikaioo, D-I-K-A-I-O-O. Remember, the verbs that end in double O are what a person is or what is hoped they will be. Here it is righteousness. To be recognized, to recognize one as righteous. We translate it being justified. See, we don't have to spend time now. In chapter 3, we did a study, did an overhead, did everything on it. You understand what justification means. You're justified, he imputes righteousness, declares you righteous, justified before him. So that takes care of the verb. Righteousness, the issue between man and God. From Job, the first book given, or actually from Adam and Eve, but from Job in writing all the way through the Bible. This is the issue for the unbeliever. It's an issue for the believer. Being righteous before God. This is an issue for the unbeliever being saved, a believer being sanctified in his life. Okay. And justification is essential to receiving all blessings from God, people. Being justified. There is no peace if there's no justification. There's no blessings in life. There's no indwelling of the Spirit. There's no blessings from God until we're justified. This is the first thing God took care of, so that you are justified. You can now receive blessings from God, starting with the 34 things that God gives us at the point of faith in Him. Aorist tense, fact done. Justified. Boom. Faith in Jesus Christ, imputed righteousness, declared righteousness, you cannot lose it. That's your state. I feel so sorry for those who think you can lose your salvation. Oh, well, that means then that God took back His justification, took back the 34th thing. What kind of God is this? What kind of games He playing? Well, I impute you with righteousness. Oh, but later on you messed up and I didn't know you were going to do that, so I'm taking it back. And I'm taking back the 34 things I gave you. Taking back the indwelling of the Spirit. What kind of God is this? What a tragedy to have that view of God. Passive voice, the grace voice, we receive being justified by faith in Christ. The participle, you're ready for this now. The action of the aorist participle precedes the main verb. What's the main verb? We have peace with God. See? Where'd you see that? Just last week. All right? Abraham did not doubt in his faith, did not weaken in his faith. What happened before that? Having given glory to God, having concluded God is able, therefore he did not waver in his faith. See, the action preceded another action. So here you have the action. First action, imputation of righteousness and justification. Now we can have peace with God. By faith. By means of faith. Faith alone in Christ alone. Faith, non-meritorious. Faith, passive verb. Receives from God. Is your faith the faith God is looking for? How much faith do I need? Grain of mustard seed. Just a little bit more than no faith at all. Faith is preceded by thought. Knowledge, understanding, the gospel. Then you believed in Christ. See? These things happen. Okay, therefore, we have peace with God. All right? We have. Present, active, indicative, echo, to have, to possess. It's yours. The present active indicative denotes condition, goes on and on and on. You never lose this. Then we come to the verb, or the concept, peace. Eirne, E-I-R-N, long E, means peace. Harmony. It's where we get the girl's name, Irene. Now, I knew an Irene in high school, and she was anything but peaceful. But nevertheless, it's what the word, the girl's name, Irene, means. See? Now, means harmony. Harmony. What is important here is that the noun does not speak of an immediate relationship in this passage, but a state of existence. People, we are in a state of peace with God. We permanently have this peace with God. With God, pros plus the accusative. Best way to translate this, we have peace face to face with God. It's the best way and it's the easiest way. That's what we have with this preposition plus the accusative case. It's our status with God. Now comes the important part in identifying this peace. Because there's different peace in the Bible. Look at the next phrase. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Preposition dia, through the instrument or the immediate cause, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. We've spent time on all of these now in Romans, so now we can just go through. He is your Lord, Kyrios, Savior, that's Jesus. Christ, He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we permanently have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, rather than develop and putting in a lot of things and develop this, I just want to get to two main things I want you to know and walk out and never forget about peace. As far as Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Point 1. Let's just look at the word, the concept. Peace itself, Eirne. Eirne has a positive concept and a negative. It's the opposite of war. It's the opposite of dissension. It's peace. Harmony. I've met people in life, they weren't even concerned about being happy. They just wanted some inner peace. Happiness wasn't even, they weren't at that level to where they didn't even think about it. Their life, their things going on in their soul and their life, they just have peace. Where they could sleep at night. Get on to happiness later. So, this is peace. That inner harmony. That inner rest. It goes on inside of the believer. Spiritually, peace of mind, tranquility of mind. Existing because of your relationship with God. Because you're reconciled with God. Now there are other categories of understanding of this word peace. For an example, health, welfare. It can mean prosperity, even happiness. This word is much like the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom meaning peace, joy, welfare. That's the concept of Eirne in the Greek. A person may be, the word carries fundamentally two opposite ideas. What is present, harmony, tranquility, peace, as opposed to what is absent, war, turmoil, hostility, any grievance between two parties. See, a person may be prosperous, but no peace inside their soul. On the other hand, a person may be in poverty and experience wonderful peace in their soul. So the peace we're talking about is not dependent on the circumstances of life. Now we come to Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2. Peace with God. There are two ways of looking at our peace and God. One is peace with God. Peace of God. Usually, this is way down, about 0.5 or 6. I wanted this. I want you to walk away. If you have anything else, kind of get an idea of what it means. And then this. Peace with God. Peace of God. You will note in 5:1, it says peace with God. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So you'll know we have two different prepositions, even in the English. Peace with God, Romans 5:1. Peace of God, Philippians 5:7. All right? Yes. Okay, there are several things going on. And a lot of times, Mark, it depends on the relationship. In fact, I'll be talking about this a little bit, but let me just answer your question. That, let's say that it's we were in a business deal, and it didn't go really well or anything, and if I said shalom, that meant peace. I'm not angry, I'm not upset with you over this business deal, just shalom, peace, and that type of deal. Now, in another circumstance, it could be just in a greeting. Shalom means I'm happy to see you. I'm here for your peace and your welfare. It just takes on so many different meanings depending on the circumstances. But if you just walked up and you just said, like we would say, how are you doing? So they would say shalom. It means hope everything's going well. You're prosperous, healthy. Healthy, and you might leave in the hospital room and say shalom. That means health. Yes. No, that's all through the Old Testament. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so point one, we're under Roman numeral 2, two ways of looking at our peace with God. Roman numeral 1 was definition. Roman numeral 2, two ways of looking at our peace and God. One, peace with God, peace of God. Point two, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, compared with Philippians 4, 7. Now point three, sub point three. Peace with God is a peace that is from the cross work of Jesus Christ. When one believes in Jesus Christ, he is in a state of peace with God. Let me just jump right to it. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are at peace with God. Now, in life, you sin. We sin. You're still at peace with God eternally, positionally, before him. Okay? Now, I'll come to what that other deals with. But as far as your relationship with God, you've not lost that. I don't care how horrible your sin is. The moment you believed in Christ, imputed righteousness, justified, you're at peace with God. Your name is in the book of life forever. Okay? So, point three, peace with God is a peace from the cross work of Christ. It's the state of every believer. Believes in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ broke down the barrier between man and God and established peace with God. And this peace is now available to anyone and everyone who will believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Subpoint four. Peace of God. Peace of God. This is a peace as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Every believer is in a state of peace with God by faith in Jesus Christ. But in our lives, we may not experience inner peace. This peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. This peace is not based on circumstances of life. It's based upon the power of the Holy Spirit. You're walking by faith in the Spirit, and the Spirit filling you with His peace. Subpoint 5. Peace with God. Faith in Jesus Christ at salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Peace of God. Faith in the Holy Spirit. This is a peace that comes to the believer during your life, throughout your life, when you walk by faith in the Spirit. Look with me at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh, that means you're thinking, set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. The Holy Spirit, we live by the Holy Spirit. And when we're living that life, spiritual life, it is accompanied with peace. Look at chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, which is the way legalists like to live it. Oh, you shouldn't eat that. Oh, you shouldn't drink that. Oh, all this kind of stuff. Kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness. Well, I know people who they're so legalistic. Boy, you can't even smell a cork, and you can't do this, you can't do that. But the way they treat others and the way they treat people is just, it's unbelievable how inconsistent they are. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness in our life, and that comes by the Holy Spirit, and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteous life, peace, joy, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 15. Verse 13. You don't think this is important to Paul? 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See that word believing? That's faith. By faith in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Don't turn there. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Now people, let's learn a little bit about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so that we can experience in life our position in God. That's why He's given. The Holy Spirit, you're given the indwelling of the Spirit so that you can experience in your life your position in God and with Christ. Imputed righteousness, living a righteous life. Here, peace. We have eternal peace with God due to our position in Christ. But we can experience experiential peace and inner peace, regardless of what's happening in circumstances of life, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Subpoint 6. Peace with God is not experienced. It is an eternal position with God. You can never lose it. Peace with God is not experienced. It is our eternal position with God. Never lose it. Unconditional. Some children, and I'm so thankful to God I can say I'm included here, just have that relationship with their parents. They know, I don't care what I do, I will not lose her love, my mother's love. It will not change. I don't care what I did. That love is there. This peace with God is there. You can't lose it. You are always at peace with God, and because of that, we can have the peace of God in our life. So this becomes very important in point six. Peace with God is not experience. It is our eternal position. Can never lose it. However, peace of God can be experienced regardless of circumstances in life. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it can be lost. We're dealing with a study on the Holy Spirit that I've never done before in our basic study and the 9:30 service. And one of the things we saw here, people, there are 24 hours in a day. And let's just, for fun, give you 8 hours of sleep. I don't know how many of you make that, but let's just, for fun, that leaves 16 hours. Now, let's say that you walk in the Spirit by faith. I'll jump out there. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Wow. Do you realize that means 15 hours and 50 minutes you were in the flesh, and you want to know why that peace isn't there very long? It isn't going to be there very long. This isn't going to have time to stabilize. And I'm assuming you have the 10 minutes consecutively. If that 10 minutes is broken up, you're really in trouble. See? But I want you to understand why the Holy Spirit's given, so that we can experience these things. See? Alright. Point seven. Peace with God can never change. It can never be improved. It can never be weakened. But you can lose the peace of God, not walking by faith in the Spirit. And finally, this is at point eight. Both peace with God and peace of God are provided by the person and work of Jesus Christ, and both are received by faith. We compare Romans 5:1, peace with God through Jesus Christ, with Philippians 4:7, peace of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, any questions on peace with God, peace of God? Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 3. Roman numeral 1, looked at just a brief definition. Roman numeral 2, peace of God, peace with God. Those are the two main things. I just want to jump right to them so that those are things that you carry top in your mind. All right, point three, Roman numeral 3. The gospel is called the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15. Ephesians 6:15. It's called the gospel of peace. But you know what I want you to turn to? I'd like you to turn to Isaiah. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah. Well, I mean, I may have that on here if it comes up. Ah, Isaiah 52:7. I sure do. So, if you want to just look up here or open it up, this is beautiful. Okay. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news. That's the, in the Greek, that's the translation of the word gospel. Who announces peace. That's what the gospel gives, peace. And brings good news, gospel, of happiness. Who announces salvation. So look here what we have with the gospel. Peace, happiness in your relationship with God, salvation. Happiness you don't have to work for it. And says to Zion, your God reigns. Okay? Roman numeral 4. Okay, now we'll just start talking about it. Message of peace as a salutation. What do I mean? Paul begins every one of his letters with peace to you. Generally, grace is there. Grace and peace to you. Peter does the same, and Jude. Now, one of the reasons for this is, at the time when the world was in constant turmoil, where you were just not sure who was a friend, who was hostile, especially if you were a follower of Jesus Christ, who was a foe. anti-Christianity everywhere. When they use the word peace, shalom, it signifies what manner of relationship you're bringing. Paul's message is one of peace, not anger, not hostility, but peace. And that's one reason he started every one of the letters, wherever he was writing, all over, Thessalonica, Galatia, all. He said, "Here, look, here, peace. This is my message. This is how I come to you." So it's a greeting in that sense. Roman numeral five. Peace in the Christian life. Peace in the Christian life. First, we are to live in a sphere of peace poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Then, when you have this peace in you, it should flow out from you to your husband, to your wife, to your family, work, church. Therefore, we are to live in peace with one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That means your husband, your wife, your family, friends. When it depends on... Some people just don't want to be. Some people do not want to be in peace. They want to fight. They want to be confrontational. But when it's... As far as you're concerned, depends on you, be at peace with all men. One of the many things that will happen when you walk by faith in the Spirit is you will experience peace with one another. You'll go out of your way, walk the extra mile to maintain peace with one another. Stealing from one another does not promote peace. Harsh words does not promote peace. Striking one another does not promote peace. Wrongdoing another person does not promote peace. Spiritual love promotes peace. Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. It's especially true in the assembly. You know what Christians are really great at? Little sarcastic remarks about another believer or to another believer. At home, work, church, running down others, running down one another. Doesn't make peace. Doesn't cause peace in the soul. In a relationship, Holy Spirit gives us this peace inside of us, this desire. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. He is with you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So this deals within the assembly, in a family, in relationships, people. All right, Roman numeral 6. Why are we to live in peace with one another and with people in the world? Okay, first of all, it creates an environment for the gospel. Let me read for you Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. People see the love of Christ. They're not going to see it anywhere else if it is, they don't see it through you. Christ is no longer here. So your husband, your wife, people at work, family, church, they're going to see the love of God and be open to the gospel. It's going to be by you. Secondly, it's a result of loving as Christ loves. Thirdly, it may keep another believer from going into sin. You come in and say some harsh words, boom, they immediately get out. Fourth, it may be easier for another believer to be restored. You maintain peace. Fifth, in Romans 14:19, you by being at peace with one another will make it easier for others to grow in the learning of the truth, of Bible doctrine, of the truth, and walking in the Spirit. Sixth, it will help you, yourself, maintain a Spirit-filled life, experiencing this inner peace. See, it hurts our souls when there's not peace between you and another believer. So it helps you to maintain a spirit-filled life yourself, to grow the knowledge of the Word. Let's go through a couple of verses. All right, well, I do have the Hebrews 12:14 there. Now let's look at Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling with which you have been called. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, these are fruits of the Spirit, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, and then verse 3, being diligent to persevere the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's in the local assembly. Also in the assembly, we're to live at peace with one another. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:12. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, that's the pastor, and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Just thought I'd throw that one in. All right. Eighth, peace is essential to having hope and confidence in life. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There is walking by faith in the Spirit. That or in order that God fills your heart with joy, love, and peace in order that you may abound in hope, confidence, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ninth, we are exhorted to allow peace to rule in our hearts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, be thankful. Okay, so this talks about a peace in our daily life. I probably should have taken at least 2 or 3 hours and not gone through these quickly. This is where you and I live. Those of you that like practical things, here's where it's practical. This is where you and I live every day in our lives. And then the final remark in regard to the concept of peace is we have peace in your life basically two ways of understanding. Filling of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit is peace. And then secondly, Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, you, God, will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, every circumstance. Forever means in every circumstance. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Okay, may God add his blessing to the reading, studying, this whole study of peace. We're now ready for verse 2 in Romans 5. Let's get ready for our communion service. Ready for our communion service. It is our custom, the first Sunday of each month, that we celebrate and have communion. And so let's get ourselves ready for that at this time. There are two elements in the communion, the bread and the cup. I think every one of you know that the cup represents the bread represents the body of Christ. It represents salvation won, or eternal life salvation. The cup represents salvation 2, the Spirit-filled life, the new covenant by which we live under. Let's prepare ourselves for this by prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you've given this to us, and once a month it is our tradition here to take the time to just reflect on how we entered the plan, and that's how we're to live. Fulfill your plan for our lives by faith. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served, that we might take fellowship and communion together as we take communion with him. In the same way, Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, after the Passover, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the bread of your word. We thank you for the symbol of the bread of your Son, gave his life for us. Father, we thank you for the physical bread that we're about to partake of in a few minutes. Thank you for the fellowship we have with one another. Pray, Father, that your will be done in the meeting that we're getting ready to go into, Father. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.